Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Once you find Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to find verse number 25. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 25. And then stand with me, if you will. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 25. And the Bible says this, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it." Those words there in verse number 27, "in the power of thine hand," is the title and the whole concept of the truth of this morning. Now I'm going to pray for us. Father, I pray that you'll help us this morning. I ask that there will be no interruptions to the service. I pray that we would concentrate on the Word of God. Lord, we realize that you have something special for us today. We don't want to miss it. Holy Spirit of God, help us to concentrate on the preaching. I pray, Father, that we would set aside the burdens of life, the cares of life, and realize you have something for us today. We need to hear it, and we need you to work in our lives now. So bless us with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll look right this way, if you heard those words, it says in Proverbs 3:27, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it." Let me ask you a question today. What will you do with the power of your hand? What will you do with the power of your hand? When I was a youth director, one day we had a little place where the young people could play some basketball inside. And the type basketball goal that we had was, you know, it was an old-fashioned basketball goal where there were two I'll use the term pipes that slid, and there was a backboard on top, and the backboard was hooked to a pipe that slid into another pipe, and it was on a foundation, and you'd slide those things and stick a pin in it, and you could determine the height of the goal. Now, we have a couple basketball goals like that out here, but you don't stick a pin in it. They're a little more modern. But these two steel pieces of pipe were fit together, and the guys were playing basketball, and I was watching, and I was leaning up against that one of those pipes. Matter of fact, I had my hand right where the two pieces of pipe came together. And the place was full of teenage boys, and everybody was shooting basketball. And I don't know how it happened, but one of the teenage boys came over and he pulled the pin out of that pipe. When that happened, it started to suck the palm of my hand in between those two pipes. Well, the guys were still playing basketball. So I took my other hand and I went ahead and I grabbed a hold of that thing. I was trying to hold that backboard up, and I was a little in shock, because now out of the bottom of the pipe, I'm watching a puddle of blood, and every time I'd slip a little, it'd pull a little more of the palm of my hand in between the two pipes, and of course, it was sharp and it was cutting, and I was trying to get everybody's attention, and you know how men are, with dignity. I was trying to act like it didn't hurt, but believe me, it hurt. And they're all shooting balls, so they're driving down and shooting a layup, and I'm thinking, you really need to stop and help me get this off my hand. Finally, somebody realized I was in a mess. So they came over and lifted it up, and I'd seen my blood at the bottom, and so I drove myself to the hospital, and I can't remember how many, but you know, my wife said it was well over 100 stitches when they put my left hand all back together. And, you know, to this very day, you have a strength in your hand. They call it grip strength. And to this day, the grip strength in my left hand, it's not what it ought to be. But it sucked the whole palm of my hand into those two pipes and just almost sliced it all the way off. And they had to sew it back together in layers and everything. And it was kind of gross for a while, but we got it all put back together. One of our good men, Brother Uriah, cut his fingers real, real badly. If you've never seen the picture, you don't really want to. But he cut some of his fingers not long ago, and wow, all sorts of stitches and all sorts of operations and everything. Now, just about 7 or 8 days ago, he's a truck driver by trade, and he had to go down to Arkansas so they could put him through a endurance or a strength test, so he could, you know, get permission to go back on the road and drive. Why? They wanted to make sure that his hand and that he had recouped and his hand was strong enough to do what needed to be done. They were testing the power in his hand. Now, if you know Uriah, his hands aren't real powerful anyway. But they wanted to test the power of his hand. And you know, I got to thinking about how the power in my left hand had become weak as a result of that accident. And to this very day, part of it was that we nicked a couple tendons and everything. We just didn't get it all put back together well. Well, the power in Brother Uriah's hand was adequate, and they let him go back to work, which, by the way, is a big praise to the Lord. We're glad that he's able to get back to work. But I got to thinking about that when Uriah and I were talking and meeting, and we were talking about his accident and the hospital, you know, stays and visits and all of that. And I was reminded of that when I seen this verse in Proverbs 3:27, where the Bible says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. The power of the hand. For what will you use the power of thine hand? We often refer to the hand of God. You talk about a powerful hand. The hand of God is a powerful God. And God has in his hand great power. But thank the Lord, God's power is used for your good and my good. With the power in his hand, Nehemiah rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem. With the power in her hand, Mary offered ointment for the feet of Jesus Christ. With the power of his hand, Noah built an ark, saving the lives of his family. With the power in his hand, Paul penned maybe 13 books of the New Testament. With the power in her hands, Pharaoh's daughter received Moses out of a basket in which he was floated up the Nile River trying to salvage his life from a wicked Pharaoh. With the power in his hands, Joseph freed his brothers who had wrongly sold him previously into slavery. With the power of her hands, Rahab the harlot helped God's man. With the power of his hands, Luke the physician helped the apostle Paul and others that needed his medical advice. With the power of her hands, Timothy's grandmother loved and raised him to serve the Lord. With the power of his hands, Hosea willingly received his wife Gomer back into his life after she had gotten out of God's will. With the power of her hands, Martha served diligently the people around her. With the power of his hands, Abraham clung to the promise from God that he would be the father of many nations, hanging on to the words of God with the power of his hands. Now, folks, there are a lot of things that you and I may not have in this life, but I can tell you something. We have the power that is in our hands. You go throughout the Bible, and I see the people of God using their hands to accomplish things for the Lord. And when I look at this crowd of faces, there are people here of different financial statuses, and there are people here with different types of education. There are people here that were reared in very different situations, but I can assure you one thing. Everybody here has hands. Hold your hands up for a second. Everybody here has two. And there is power in your hands. You might say, well, preacher, I don't have some of the talents Brother Edwards has, but you have hands. I don't have the kind of education that Brother Ronnie has, but you have hands. Well, I don't have clout. I don't have a lot of influence, but you have hands. The Bible says that we're to use the power of our hands. There's great power in those hands. I'm going to talk about the power of the hands for just a little while. I say to Samson, Samson, use the power in thine hands. In Judges chapter 15, verse number 16, it says, "And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men." Hey, what did you do with the power of your hands, Samson? Samson took hold of the jawbone of that donkey, and he slew 1,000 Philistines. Now, let me say to everybody in here, you need to take the power of your hands, and you need to get some victory in your life, even though you might feel like you're outnumbered. Samson was outnumbered, but he said, "I'll take the power of my hands, and I will win a victory." I don't know what you face today, but take the power of your hands, and you get a victory. Hey, Moses used the power of his hands. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 4, verse 17, "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand wherewith, and thou shalt do signs." What in the world do you have in your hand there, Moses? And he said, "I don't have anything but this little old shepherd's staff." And God said, "You take that staff in the power of your hands, and you're going to use it, and you're going to use it as a leadership tool." You know what? Moses took he was a shepherd that took one staff in the power of his hand, went down and faced the mighty Pharaoh, and used the power in his hand to help set God's people free. He parts the Red Sea. You say, with what? A stick. The stick. A stick in his hand. With God's help. Let me tell you something. Your hands coupled with God's help is powerful. With the powerful, hey, Moses, with the power of thine hands, you face Pharaoh. Hey, with the power of your hands, Samson, you face that 1,000 number of Philistines and have victory. Mary of Bethany used the power of her hands. The Bible says in Matthew 26:7, "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." Hey, what do you have there in your hand, Mary? She said, "It's a box. It's a box that has oil in it." Well, what are you going to do with that oil? She said, "I'm going to anoint the feet of Jesus." Let me tell you something. She used the strength of her hands to serve Jesus. She used the strength of her hands to anoint the feet of Jesus Christ. You understand, in the day in which they lived, they would have wore a sandal, and the roads would have been dirty and rugged and hard. And I'm sure even in our day and age, there's lotion for the feet, and the feet get calloused and dry. But boy, in that day, it would have been 10 times and 100 times as bad. And Mary said, "I want to anoint the feet of Jesus. I want to bring comfort to Jesus." Now, let me tell you all something, folks. You and I, we often turn to get comfort from Jesus. Wouldn't it be good if we would use the power of our hands to try to serve Him and be a comfort to Him? And I say, Mary, what did you do with the power of your hands? And I think Mary said, "I want to be a blessing to Jesus. I want to use the power of my hands to anoint His feet." Somebody else said, give that ointment away. And Mary said, "No, that ointment is for the feet of Jesus Christ." Jesus was blessed by Mary. Mary used the power of her hands to be a blessing to Jesus Christ. Hey, widow, what are you going to use the power of your hands for? She said, "Well, all I have in my hands are these 2 pennies, 2 mites. What are you going to do? She said, "I'm going to use the power of my hands, and I'm going to give it all to Jesus Christ in the cause of Christ." Mark chapter 12, verse number 42, it says, "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing." And what did she have there in the power of her hands? Those 2 little mites. And a mite would have been really worth less than a penny in our day and age. But what a famous story of sacrifice. And in all reality, she gave more than the millionaires gave, because all she had was those 2 mites, and she gave it all. The power of her hand was the ability to give an example for every future generation about sacrificing for the cause of Jesus Christ. I don't know what you have in your hands, and I don't know what you're made of, but I can tell you this, everybody here has hands. Everybody here has two hands, and there is power in your hands. And those hands, oh, sure, they were given so that you and I could sustain ourselves in this current world, but I'll guarantee you something else. God said, you use the power of your hands, and you use it right. You use it like Samson did to get victory. You use it like Moses did to lead God's people gently. You use it like Mary did to be a blessing to Jesus. You use it like the mites of the widow. And you use the power in your hands to be a blessing to people and to set an example of sacrifice. Oh my, there's a lad over there. He's got his lunch with him. He has a few barley loaves and a couple small fish. What do you have in your hand there, boy? My lunch. Wonder what he's going to do with the power of his hands. The Bible says in John 6:9, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? Little boy sees over 5,000 people in a crowd and he's got a lunch and they're all hungry. And Jesus said, boy, if you'll give me that lunch, I'll feed all these people. That little boy didn't know the power that was in his hand, did he? He had no concept that Jesus could take that lunch, and if that boy would take the power in his hand, hand that lunch to Jesus, Jesus could multiply it. And let me say to everybody in here, you do not know what the power in your hand can be multiplied into as you give and you sacrifice and you use your hands for the right things. In the power of thine hand is a gospel tract. In the power of thine hand are encouraging words that can be written on a note that encourage some saint of God. In the power of thine hands, you can put out a hand of friendship that could make a difference in somebody's life eternally. That little boy had no idea that in the power of his hands was an example that would be taken to future generations on how God could take a little and feed 5,000 in the power of thine hands. The power of thine hands. It was given to feed 5,000 people. Abigail in the Old Testament used the power of her hands. David, her husband, had been rude. I'm sorry, Nabal, her husband, had been rude to David. And David had said, I'm going to go down there and we're going to massacre those people because of their rudeness. And Abigail decided she didn't want her husband and all the men killed because of her husband's rudeness. You know what the Bible says? Abigail used her hands to cook up a good old meal for David. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 25:18, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses and took them out to David. In other words, she got together and made some banana pudding, some banana bread, and she said, you know what? David's coming to massacre us. What do you have in your hand there, Abigail? She said, I've got this ladle and I've got a bowl and I've got a stick of butter, and I'm going to make something, and I'm going to make a difference. I'll do what I can with my hands. All I have is the power of my hands. And she took that food out there to David and his men that were coming to massacre these people. And David said, you're a good lady. You're a good lady. What you just handed me, I'm going to spare the lives of these people. They faced death, but because of the kindness that was in the power of one lady's hand, all those people were spared. There's some of you ladies, the way you cook, you just kill them with your cooking. You won't have to worry about sparing them. And the power of thine hand, the book of Proverbs says, David, use the power of thine hands. David, what do you have in your hand there? You're just a young man. David said, I have my harp. The Bible says that David took the harp that God had given him and used appropriate words and appropriate music. David used that harp to steal some of the fears of a leader in his country. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 16:23, it says, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well from the evil spirit, and it departed from him. What do you have in your hand there? David, I have my harp. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to use the power of my hand to make music that would calm Saul. What do you have in your hand there? I have my trumpet. I'll use my trumpet to help God's people. What do you have in your hand there? I have my saxophone. I'm going to use that to calm God's people and be a blessing to God's people. What do you have in your hand there? I have the piano. I'm going to use that piano and I'm going to calm the fears of God's people. What do you have in your hand there? I have a songbook. And I'm going to use my hands and I'm going to lead the people of God to sing and to comfort themselves and to be reminded of Zion. What do you have in your hand there, congregation? I have a songbook and I'm going to use what I have in my hands and I'm going to sing out. I'm going to smile while I sing and mean what I sing and I'm going to influence the people around me. Oh, the power of thine hands. David used what was in the power of his hands to influence people. And in this case, musically. What do you have in your hands there, Joseph? Joseph of Arimathea. He said, I have the deed to a graveside. Matthew 27:6, it says, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Joseph owned a grave. A tomb, if you will. And Jesus needed a place to be buried. And you know what? Joseph said, all I have is this little deed, this mausoleum plot. But I'm going to give it so it can be used. And you know what? It was used so that Jesus could be buried. I don't know what else Joseph had. But what he had in his hand, he used the power of his hand to do good. Do you understand? That is the most famous historical gravesite in the universe. That day, that man held that one little deed. That little deed to that little slot where somebody could be buried. And God looked down and said, you may not understand it, but in the power of your hands is something that's going to turn the world upside down. Jesus is going to come out of your grave. Don't hold on to that thing with the power of thine hand. Give with the power of thy hand. I can take a simple boy and use the power of his hand. I can take a widow and use the power of her hand. I can take a sick mama and use the power of her hand. I can take a mighty captain and use the power of his hand. I can take a humble musician and use the power of their hand. Hey, everybody has hands. And our God is a God of power, and the only power He gets to exercise much sometimes comes through us, our hands, to the human race. The power of thine hand. The power of thine hand. Jail, will you use the power of your hand? What do you have in your hand there, Jail? She said, I've got a hammer and a nail. So what are you going to do with it? So I'm going to nail somebody. The enemy was a man by the name of Sisera. Vile, evil, wicked enemy. The Bible says this in Judges 4:21. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. That's a tent stake. That's a big mama. And took a hammer in her hand and went softly. The Bible's so funny. Went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it to the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary. He was more asleep when she got done with him. But this enemy, vile, nasty, wicked man was destroying God's people. And this lady said, I got a hammer and I got a nail and I'm going to nail his head to the floor. And she did. I'm not recommending anybody here do that. It's just one of the illustrations in the Bible. But I will tell you this. That little lady took the power of her hand to fight evil and to fight the devil in life. Don't you think there was some boldness when she stood up for what was right? Don't you think there was some courage when that little lady... And it does. It says she just went softly, quietly. I think of our Betty Andrews. You talk about a sweet, sweet lady. But I'll tell you something. There's no doubt in my mind God has worked through the power of her hands. There are a lot of people in this church that love her very deeply. And I'll tell you why. She's used her hands to be a blessing to you. She's handed and she's hugged and she's been kind and good to people using the power of the hands for influence. The widow at Zarephath, she had power in her hands. The Bible says in 1 Kings 17:9, it says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. What do you have there, lady, widow? How are you going to use the power of your hands? All she had was a little oil and a little meal. And there was a famine in that land. She had just enough oil and meal to make a meal for herself and her child, and then they were going to die. And God said, ma'am, if you'll share your oil and your meal with the man of God, I'll take care of you. And she said, I have faith enough to do that. So she used what little oil and what little meal she had, and she made and shared, she made some cakes for Elijah. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says she went back to her cruse of oil after she used it all, and there was more in it. She went back to the little barrel where she kept her cornmeal. She thought she'd used it all, and there was more in it. So she used that. Next day she went back. There was oil in her cruse again. There was meal in her barrel again. You know something? The power of her hands was the ability to be good to someone, to help someone else be sustained in life. And God reached down and said, let me show you the power of thine hand. Let me show you how I can use you. And that story is incredible. The barrel never emptied itself of oil, and the barrel never emptied itself of meal. Why? Because that widow used the power of her hands, and she was not self-centered. She was not worried just about her and hers, but she was worried about others and meeting the needs of others. Oh, the power of thine hand. Matthew, how will you use the power of your hand? Matthew was a man that worked for, if you will, modern date vernacular, he worked for the IRS. He was a tax collector. Matthew would use the power of his hands, though. The Bible says in Matthew 9:9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Hey, what do you have there in the power of your hand, Matthew? Matthew said, I'm good with numbers, and I can use a calculator, and I know how to do bookkeeping. And Jesus said, you know something? You ought to get born again. Matthew said, I'll do it. And then Matthew said, well, Jesus, what in the world could I ever do for you? You know what, Matthew? Jesus said, Matthew, you good with numbers? I need a bookkeeper among the disciples to help us. He and Matthew said, I'll use the power of my hands. I don't know what your talent is. I do not know what your ability is. You ought to be using it for Jesus in one way or another. Amen. Whatever ability, whatever talent you have, let that power be in the let the power of God be in the power of thine hand and use it. He served Jesus as one of his chosen 12. And what did he have in his hand? Calculator. But he served God with it. Hey, mother, a baby Moses, what will you use the power of your hand to accomplish? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 2, verse number 3, and when she could no longer hide him, she took him for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And what was happening is they were going to put Moses to death. And Moses' mama said, I'll do what I can. And all she had was the ability to make a basket. She was a crafter, if you will. She made a basket. She put her baby in that basket and sent it up the river because she knew if she kept that baby, it was going to be put to death. And if you know the story, one of Pharaoh's daughter's servants found that baby and Moses got taken to safety. But Mama, all Mama had, she said, I'm poor. I have nothing. She said, but I can craft a basket. You say, well, preacher, I can't do much for God. You just do what you can. You say, I craft. Then use your craft for Jesus. You figure out a way to use what you have in the power of your hands, and you let God turn it in. Hey, God takes little things and makes miracles out of them. Amen. Eleazar, what do you have there? He said, it's my sword. In the power of his hand, he had fought a mighty battle. I mentioned this last week at the conclusion of my sermon. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 23:10, it says this, it says, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave into the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Eleazar, what do you have? He said, I've got a sword in my hand, and I'll use the power in my hand with that sword. He had fought the Philistines all day long. And if you remember the story, from sun up to sundown, he fought a battle with a sword in his hand. We're talking about hand-to-hand combat with other swords. He had fought so long and so hard. At the end of the day, he went to his tent at the end of the battle. He tried to lay the sword down, but he could not get his hand to release the grip because of the power in his hand. And God had given him a great victory that day. Christian, what do you have in your hand? You have the sword of the Word of God. Well, let me tell you something. You talk about something powerful in your hand. Use the power that's in thy hand to use the Word of God to change a life and to influence people to do right. You know something? Everybody here today has power in your hands. I asked earlier for you to raise your hands. Everybody here has two hands. But the Bible says the power of thine hand. If you only had one hand. But you know, to be quite honest with you, if somebody out there on the internet listens to this sermon, they say, well, I don't have any hands. It's not just talking about your hands. It's talking about the power that is inside a Christian and the capability that God can place into a person to influence and direct people and help people and serve people. You may not have wealth, but you have hands. You may not have education, but you have hands. You may not have status, but you have hands. You say, I've not been in the church all my life. I look at some of these young people, and boy, they were born into the church, and they're 25, 26, 27 years of age, and they were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and boy, they know the Bible. I just got saved. Preacher, I really don't have much to offer. You have hands, don't you? You have hands, and in the power of thine hand, you can make a difference. Now use the power in your hands. Use the power in your hands to fight the enemy of the devil like Samson used the jawbone of that ass. Use the power in your hands to work miracles in life like Moses used his staff. Use the power of your hands to be a blessing to Jesus like Mary of Bethany anointed his feet. Use the power in your hands to help the poor like the widow did with her two mites. Use the power in your hands to feed the hungry like that little lad did with his historical 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Use the power in your hands to create peace among the brethren like Abigail did when her husband had been rude to David. Use the power in your hands to nail down some worldly enemy in your life. And I'm not talking about a human. I'm talking about the worldly, filthy sin of life. Nail that to the ground and get it out of your life. Use the power in your hands to be a good man of God, or be good to the man of God, like the widow of Zarephath did. Use the power in your hands to do right with your money, like Matthew helped to do right as a tax collector. Use the power in your hands to be good to a child. Like Moses' wife was with that baby. Hey, listen, we all have power in our hands. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if we didn't use the power that's in our hands? Wouldn't it be tragic if we would not have the story of Samson using the power in his hands and the jawbone of a donkey to slay 1,000? What a story! Wouldn't it be a tragedy if Moses wouldn't have used his miracle-working staff? Wouldn't it have been a tragedy if Mary wouldn't have given us the story of the oil that came forth out of the power of her hands to anoint the feet of Jesus? Wouldn't it have been a tragedy if we did not have the story of the widow's two mites that she used the power of her hand to give? I love the story of the lad feeding the 5,000s with that lunch. But if he would have said, I'm not going to use the power of my hand today. It's not enough. I'm a nobody. I'm just a kid. Hey, you boys and girls in here, some of you teenagers in here, you listen to me. David used the power of his hands when he was a kid to slay a Goliath. You can make a difference with the power of your hands. Thank God Abigail didn't make the mistake of not using her cooking ability because it was the power of her hands. David would have made a mistake if he would not use that harp and the power of his hands to serve God. Joseph gave that gravesite to Jesus Christ. Had he misused the power of his hands, we wouldn't have the resurrected Savior coming forth from that particular gravesite. Jail used that hammer and nail. It would have been a mistake
for Jael not to use that hammer and nail. The widow of Zarephath and that meal and that cruse of oil, I'm glad she used what was in the power of her hand. And she didn't withhold it. She wasn't embarrassed. She didn't hold back. She said, I may not have much, but I'll use what is in the power of my hands. Thank God that Matthew used the power of his hands, and I think he ended up using his calculating talents to help Jesus Christ. Moses and the basket, Eleazar and the sword. I'm thinking of a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. She was blind and wrote over 3,000 gospel hymns. We all have our eyes. How many gospel hymns have you written? I would guess she said, I'll use what I can. The power of her hands, a blind lady that can write 3,000 gospel hymns. I'd say she stepped out and said, I'll just give you what I've got here, God. It might not be much, but see what you can do with it. 3,000 gospel hymns later, the power in those blinded eyes, hands. John Bunyan. What you have in your hand there, John? Yeah, I've got a pencil. What else you have? I've got the little lids off the milk that they bring me here in prison. What are you doing? I'm writing on those milk lids. What are you writing? I'm writing a document that will become known as Pilgrim's Progress. I think of my pastor of many years, his public speaking ability. Wow. What a powerhouse. What was he doing? He was using what power he had. He used what was in his, I think of Dr. John R. Rice, his organizational abilities, the founder of the Sword of the Lord newspaper and the Sword of the Lord Ministries. He used the power in his hand, and then God took it and he multiplied it and he used it. I think of Lester Roloff. Brother Roloff had homes for fallen people and fallen teenagers. And I'm glad that he used what he had and God used it and God multiplied it. Folks, I just want to recommend today that we not waste the power that is in our hands. You say, but preacher, I'm not educated. We're not talking about education today. You say, preacher, I'm not wealthy. We're not talking about wealth today. But preacher, I didn't come up. I'm not a blue blood. I didn't come up in the church. We're not talking about your background. You say, what are we talking about? Your hands. And the power that is in your hands. Let's let this world see the hands of godly Christians. As you help people and serve people and love people. Help the brethren and serve at church. The verse is found in Proverbs 3:27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hands. Brother Uriah's hands became strong enough that they said, you can go ahead and go full force. He used the power of his hands well. You know, my hand, this hand of mine, never did regain all of its strength. It's sad. It's very sad. Can I tell you all something? Don't you let your life be like some of the lameness and the numbness that I have in my hand. You use full strength in the power of your hands to do good and to do right. And you put a Bible in your hands and you use it. You put a gospel tract in your hands and you use it. You put a handshake out there to someone and mean it sincerely. And you write a note that encourages and loves. You watch what you do with your hands. You watch what you do with your hands with your cell phone. And you watch what you do with your hands with the keyboard of your computer. And you watch what you do. Well, you watch what you lay in your hands and put in your hands and where your hands are and where they've been. Use the power of your hands to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And he said, in the power of thine hands. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never been born again, I would recommend to you that with your hand you freely receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you died today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm saved. I'd like to go to heaven when I die, but I don't know that I would. Pray for me, pastor. I don't know that I'm saved. If you'll raise your hand right now, I will pray for you. Say, I don't know that I'm born again. I don't know that I'm saved. Please pray for me, pastor.
who here would say, Brother Owens, I'm saved and I know it, but I'll tell you, I've listened to what you've said about the use of the hands today and the power that's in our hands. Preacher, God has spoken to my heart. I need to use the power in my hands more for Jesus. And God has spoken to my heart about it. Would you let God see your hand? Would you raise your hand? Sure. Lots and lots of hands. You may put those hands down. The invitation will be twofold today. We're going to have an invitation. If you need to be saved, you come. If you need to come and pray for a moment, I want you to come. If you need to come and say, oh God, I've misused my hands some. I've not used the power of my hands properly. If you need to come and spend a moment with your God and just ask God for strength, help, wisdom, or guidance, you may do so. Then I'm going to take the invitation just a slightly different direction in just a moment. But first of all, if you need the altar for any reason, I want you to feel like you could come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar for a moment, you come. In the power of thine hands, the power of thine hands. Put your Bible in your hands. Use the power in your hands. Go knock on a door for Jesus Christ. Use the power of thine hands. We're going to need some men to get some CDLs to drive buses for the church. What are you going to do? I'm going to put a steering wheel of a bus in my hands. The power of mine hands. In the future, we're going to need more Sunday school teachers in the church. What's that mean? You have to use the power of your hands to drive your car here and get yourself here Sunday night and Wednesday night so you can become a part of that teaching element. The power of thine hands. Get you some gospel tracts and hand them out. The power of thine hands. Somebody goes to tell you a filthy joke, you may need to use your hands to politely signal, no, I don't listen to that. The power of thine hands. The power of thine hands. The power of thy hands to be a front door greeter. The power of thine hands to help us with the custodial work around the church. The power of thine hands to help with the fellowship ministry. The power of thine hands to help with the hospitality ministry. The power of thine hands to help pass the offering tray, work as an usher, help as a bus worker, work as a nursery worker. The power of thine hands.